What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. It is a nice enough Friday here in New York City, the beginning of a long weekend for a lot of us. Hey, Claude, how you doing?
I'm doing okay. Thank you so much for asking. It is a happy and bright Friday morning here in New York City. I haven't left my house, you know, in 2 weeks and whatever, you know, there's really nothing to say anymore.
No, there's nothing to say anymore, but I'm excited that this weekend is different from all other weekends because it is a long weekend. We're not doing a show on Monday. We should have been at Camp Toast right now. And for that, like, my weekend will have this cloud over it of like the Camp Toastini vibes that aren't happening, that are like happening in a parallel universe, but not in this universe. But I'm excited for a 3-day weekend in the queue.
It's like a 3-day weekend in the queue is like good, I guess, because like you don't have to like set an alarm or like spend your day Zooming. But I don't know, something about it makes me even more sad knowing like the potential. Because if this was a regular 3-day weekend, like I would be hitting the town.
Oh my God, we would have big, big plans. We would have been at Camp Toast, which are the biggest plans of them all.
I know, that's really killing me. And like now my time hop is giving me so many like Camp Toast feels and it's devastating.
Yeah, I hope that I'm able to get some sunshine this weekend, maybe another sunburn, like that would be so exciting. My sunburn has faded, but the memories have not. And I'll never forget my time in the sun and I'd like to go back there.
Yeah, that's the thing about memories. They never fade.
No.
Unless you're like me and they always fade because you don't remember anything.
Right. But like the good ones stay.
I feel like now would be a good time for me to remind everyone that my comedy special is available for pre-order on iTunes. It's available at the link in my bio on my Girl With No Job Instagram. Thank you to everyone who has purchased it and left a review. If you want to leave a review, that would be great. It also would be a great time for me to remind you what today's word of the day is.
Oh, yes, please.
Preen, P-R-E-E-N, preeny vibes. The definition being of a bird to groom with the bill, especially by rearranging the barbs and barbules of the feathers and by distributing oil from the uropygial gland.
Okay, so this Merriam-Webster word of the day, from Merriam-Webster is not going to work for us because these are too obscure for words. Like there are still so many words that we don't know that are like actual real big words. We don't need to be learning about birds of a feather flock together.
Okay, but that definition is like really weird. The other definitions make more sense. It's to dress or to smooth oneself up, like to primp, or to make oneself sleek. So like, I don't know, I'm gonna hit the town. I might as well preen myself.
This doesn't sound nice. Like if I'm gonna say preen and I'm two letters in, I'm gonna say primp.
No, totally. Preen is like such an unnecessary word, but I don't argue with Merriam-Webster.
I don't know. She's sometimes like, she's a funny one, but I feel as though we need to consider our sources. I feel like the Merriam-Webster, it's like, she's been doing word of the day for years now. So she's like all out of words and we're just at the beginning of our word of the day. So I feel like we could have more accessible words.
Okay. I'll look into an app, but for today, let's at least try to get preen in there.
Well, I definitely preened myself up this morning because it's just, it's been like my current crutch in the queue is doing my hair, lipstick, makeup. Like it's just something to do. I think I went about 2 months just foregoing my looks and I got over it pretty fast.
Yeah, I have not gone over it. That's like the one benefit of quarantine for me is I never really liked doing my hair and makeup. So not having to do it for Zoom makes me feel better. But the fact that like you're now on this glam like moment, I'm sorry, you're now on this preened moment It's a little annoying because it's just only highlighting how ugly I am and how frizzy my hair is, you know?
No, I mean, like, I disagree. I think that you look great. And at least you're not, like, stuck with matte lipstick on at the end of this and having to, like, deal with that.
That's true.
Having to deal with the consequences of a matte lipstick. Yeah. But to each their own, Claude. And, you know, it's just, at the end of the day, it's whatever it takes to get you through the queue. No judgments.
Good.
This is a judgment-free zone.
Well, it's really not, but...
Who's judging you?
No, like, not me. Like, I spent this show, like, judging other people. That's, like, the whole premise of the show.
Oh, I guess, yeah, technically.
So for those who are tuning in, we are going to recap Real Housewives of New York today, which aired last night, and this week's episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills that was on Wednesday that we didn't get a chance to recap yesterday. So those will be at the end of this show, in addition to delivering, you know, everything you need to know.
Yeah, and I think it's time we can get right into it. Let everyone head out on their long weekends, you know, full of fabulous barbecues, fire pits, pool parties, whatever you guys are doing.
Jealous.
Those of you who don't live in New York City.
Bless you.
I'm so jealous of you. Okay, so let's get into it. Without further ado, here are the fast five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
I have nothing to say.
Great. The first story is really some big music news. It definitely framed how I got ready this morning because Rain On Me, Lady Gaga, and Ariana Grande unleash a diva monsoon. Their new song is out. There's been a lot of hype. We know the Lady Gaga record comes out soon. I think it's next week. But in the meantime, she dropped her Ariana collab. And it's a big song, and it doesn't disappoint, in my opinion.
No. It doesn't disappoint by any means. I just thought it would be like a little better. It's by no means a bad song. I just have a very high bar for Lady Gaga, especially when she's in her element, like dance club rave music. And to me, the song just lacked a little bit of like substance. Like there was no real like drop. I don't know. I was just like waiting for something to happen. It was still a good song and I'll jam out to it. But I just thought like, I don't know. My expectations were a little high.
Yeah. I really liked it. I didn't really have expectations because I assumed that it was going to be overhyped and that there was no way that the Lady Gaga and Ariana Grande song that winds up dropping is going to be everything that I need it to be. So I kind of had leveled expectations. And when I heard it, I was just so excited. I think it's so good, but I've only listened to it a handful of times, so I don't know yet. And this is how we felt about Stupid Love. Like, I've listened to it a few times. It seems like a nice song. I don't know how I'm going to live with it yet. And Stupid Love, like, is just so much better than I ever thought that it was after hearing it a few times. So I believe that this song will grow on me. I think it's exciting. I think now this music really symbolized like a turning point in the queue where it's like, okay, now we are turning towards like dance and anthemic music. Like we are going down a positive road.
Yeah. It's very hard for me to evaluate music upon hearing a song for the first time. Like I feel like some of my favorite songs in the world I listened to and didn't like in the beginning. Like it's, I don't understand people who can listen to a song and be like, it's amazing or it sucks. Like, I don't know how I truly feel about a song until I've heard it like 5 or 10 times.
No, I completely agree. And that's why I don't understand music critics who like do album reviews. You know, they get the album, they listen to it, and you just don't know a song until you know how sticky it is in your head.
Yeah, or like how it's built. Like I hear a song and I'm listening and like I'm not entirely sure where the verse starts, where the chorus ends. Like you need to live with a song, especially an album. I agree with album critics. Like that's the hardest job in the world. And at the same time, like just critics in general, like art is so subjective. So like what makes your opinion more valuable than mine?
Yeah, and time, it's so funny. I was listening to Reputation yesterday, and when it came out, when the whole album came out, we loved the whole album. There were some songs that we loved more than others. But like the songs that I didn't like, I think now are the best songs. The ones that took me the most time to fall in love with, even like Look What You Made Me Do. At the time, it was kind of a letdown because, you know, it builds and builds and builds. And then it's like not there. But the song's not about the chorus, you know? And it just takes some time to develop that wisdom to appreciate the song for what it is.
No, I mean, and I don't want to discourage you from ever saying positive things about Taylor Swift, but I don't think Taylor Swift has ever released a piece of music that isn't phenomenal except for Look What You Made Me Do. Like, I think it's just not a good song, but I think that there was meaning behind it for her. And like, she just needed to get the message out. Like, she didn't really care like about anything else other than like what the words were saying. So I'll allow it. And I know some people like it. I'm not saying that this is by any means like fact. I'm just saying my opinion. Like, I think it is a bad song.
I just think it was ahead of its time. I think we hadn't heard from her in a few years. We were so, like, when we got a song from her, we didn't know what the Reputation era was going to be. We just came off 1989, and, like, that's what we got, like, this angry sort of song. And it took us years almost to, like, figure out this song. And now, with those years in my back pocket, like, I think that song is so amazing. I think the whole album is just, like, it's an album about cancel culture. Like, I can't think about it as anything else. Like, I think it is so pertinent to the times. Like, she was a crusader against cancel culture before any of us even had the word cancel culture in our vocabulary.
No, I completely agree. She is truly like an artiste and a philosopher.
And I'm getting to a point in my life where I think that Reputation might be my favorite album.
A lot of people are having that experience. I've been hearing that a lot within the fandom. I'm so happy for you. I love going on a journey with music. It's like, because sometimes like certain albums, while they may be good, like you can't relate to them yet. You're not at that point in your life, or you're just in a different place. But sometimes like a lot of music, especially Taylor Swift, like her music is evergreen. So you can go back in her catalog and like go back to something that you might not have understood when it happened, but like now you're living it and you can relate to it, you know?
Yeah. It's just, it's so good. And that's why, so that's where I'm at with music. And even though I like this Lady Gaga Ariana Grande song, ask me in 3 weeks.
Totally. Like, I just love
and then ask
so well. Like, I love
so well. Ask me in 3 weeks and then ask me again in 3 years.
Will do. I'll make a mark in my calendar.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, are you ready for our next story? It's a little development from Mary-Kate Olsen's divorce saga, because she is headed to the Hamptons in a $325,000 rental.
Excuse me? Oh, I'm sorry. That made it seem like the car she was driving to the Hamptons was a $325,000 rental. I'm like, I don't even know what kind of car you could rent for that, but you can rent a house for that.
Yes, I'm sorry. That was confusing. And also, like, maybe she is in a $325,000 car, but I know she's in a $325,000 house. She is headed to a Lux Hamptons rental for the summer, sources told Page Six. She just lost an emergency petition for divorce and was seeking to continue using the couple's Hamptons home, as well as their Gramercy apartment and an East 49th Street address. They live on 49th Street?
That's not very, like, chic for a Mary-Kate. Like, she's a Soho girl.
49th Street is just a random street, like, no matter where you are in New York City. Like, some streets are random on the east side, but popping on the west side.
That's true, but
and 49th, for a star? 49th is just interesting.
But it also depends. Like, is she by the UN, or is she in Hell's Kitchen?
She's East 49th Street, so she's more UN Turtle Bay vibes.
Oh my God, is she just like a post-grad millennial living in Murray Hill?
Is Mary-Kate Olsen a Turtle Bay queen?
Wait, maybe it's just like a property that like they own, like an investment property. I don't know.
Wait, I'm sorry. I skipped over the first half of the sentence. Well, I said it, but I didn't register it. She was trying to use the couple's Hamptons home as well as their Gramercy apartment and an East 49th Street address. So they live in Gramercy. They have a place in Turtle Bay.
Still weird.
Still weird. But that's not where she's been, like, living her days commuting to the Row office from 49th Street.
And for those who may not be familiar with, like, the New York neighborhoods, there's just certain neighborhoods that, like, where you live says a lot about you. Like, that's why I feel like a lot of that doesn't translate in Real Housewives of New York. Like, if you don't get it, why everyone's so annoyed with having to go below Canal Street. Like, if you live uptown, like, you never go downtown. And 49th Street, especially on the east side, is lovely. It's very residential. It's very it's actually quite affordable. So it just is weird. Like, most rich people in New York, they live either like on the Upper East Side, Upper West Side, Soho. They have a big loft, you know, Tribeca. Like, certain areas are chic for celebrities. 49th Street, Turtle Bay is very much like a post-grad after college. Like,
Murray Hill. I'm sure you've heard of Murray Hill. It's similar to Murray Hill. It's not particularly like edgy or fabulous. It's just like a nice place to live. And when I think of Mary-Kate Olsen, I just don't think of her in Murray Hill.
But maybe because her husband's brother was some sort of politician. Maybe they they needed a place by the UN, maybe.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, because he was a diplomatic vibe.
Yeah, he was a political figure.
Yeah, that is just so interesting. But no, I think she was primarily living in Gramercy, and where, like, Theo living in the sack. If you're watching on YouTube, Theo is about to plop down in the sack. He's finding his spot. Plop, he went. Wow, that was beautiful to watch. Are you so proud, plop, like, as a mom?
Goes the Theo. I mean, he just continues to shake up my world every single day. Like, literally last night I took a shower with Theo and we sat down on the tub and I cut his feet. Like, he had so much hair. He hasn't gotten a haircut in 3 months. My tub is now completely clogged, literally with dog hair. I don't know how to get rid of it. I can't call a handyman. Ben took a shower this morning. His dirty shower water is filled up to the top of the bathtub. I'm fucked.
That sucks. Speaking of hairy creatures, though, a little redhead's update, because we talked about her hairy legs on this show ad nauseum. Dana got rid of her leg hair, and I'm not going to say shaved, because she actually Nair'd.
Oh, you know, Nair is a good product.
Yes, she was concerned that, like, a razor would just break in the face of her legs. So she tried Nair. And she, I know, I actually said she should use a Billy razor, but she was adamant about using Nair, and it really worked for her. And I think now she's, like, converted to using Nair for everything, which is interesting.
When I was in high school, I, like, tried using Nair once. It smelled so bad. Like, I remember we used to share a bathroom. I stunk up the whole house. It's a good product, but there is a fatal flaw in the smell.
It's an interesting product because it's kind of a great idea, but why don't more people use it?
Because I've heard a lot of people having, like, negative reactions to it. Like, if you have any type of sensitivity when it comes to your skin, like, you're breaking out and you're getting red dots and it's your legs feel like they're on fire.
That's me. I have every sort of sensitivity when it comes to my skin.
Yeah. Well, when I first used it, I was so self-conscious about my upper lip in, like, middle and high school, and I wasn't allowed to do anything about it. So I, like, secretly bought Nair at Duane Reade and, like, tried to Nair my lip. And I did get quite a burn from it because I left it on for too long. So now I just wax it all the time. Oh, and I also have it right here. I got this little facial hair remover. It's from Amazon. It's called the something, and it's fabulous. I use it all over my face.
Nice.
Yeah,
very nice. Okay, cool. Well, this next story, some interesting like industry news that I want to get your thoughts on.
Okay.
John Krasinski's show Some Good News sells to Viacom CBS following a massive bidding war. So John Krasinski started this feel-good web series in the queue, and apparently it was for sale, and there was a big bidding war, and now it was sold to Viacom CBS, and the series will have a multi-platform showcase across all the conglomerate's brands through the actor, writer, producer, and director, though the actor, writer, producer, and director will no longer host it. So he won't be hosting the show anymore. Yep, but, like, the idea of Some Good News just, like, was this revolutionary idea that is now sold.
I can't explain, like, why this bothers me so much, but it just, I think if I were to even try to explain why these types of formats, like, even Miley Cyrus is Bright Minded, which they all have good intentions. I'm not saying any of these people are bad people. They just set out to, like, make positive content and do good things with their platform. And I really respect and appreciate that. But to me, it's just like, stay in your own fucking lane. It's like, there, do you know how many fucking huge digital shows there are that don't get bought by Viacom and have been going on longer than just the quarantine? Like, it's just, how is anyone in the digital space ever really supposed to get ahead when celebrities are just, like, taking over HBO Max? She has a cooking show, Selena Gomez. Like, it just, they're spreading themselves so thin, and it bothers me so much. And I don't know if I'm just jealous, which is very, very possible, but it's just, like, it seems so hypocritical to me, where it's like, there's two types of celebrities. There's, like, traditional celebrities and digital celebrities. And I think for a while, and there still is, it's like, if you're a digital celebrity, it's like, you're not really that A-list. It's like, you're always a step below. But now it's like, these traditional stars are just coming in and taking our jobs.
Yeah. I agree with what you're saying. Something about this just, like, rings annoying to me. And it's not even a jealousy thing, because, like, honestly, like, it's just completely, even though I'm, like, advocating for a digital web series, which is technically what we do, like, I'm just not thinking about ourselves at all. But it is annoying. Like, he comes in, makes one show one day. Like, there are so many different digital shows. And, like, it just... And there's this, like, massive bidding war as if he's reinvented the wheel. As if he invented a web series.
Not to mention, it's not even the most original idea. And I don't even know who had the first... you know, idea for a positive, but like, to me, this sounds like a ripoff of the Instagram page Tank's Good News, which is so popular and was literally just built to put positive news out there. Like, there's so much negativity on the internet and people love it. Like, it's only been around for like 1 or 2 years, but it's grown. It has millions of followers. And to me, this seems like a fucking ripoff.
I completely agree. When I first saw his show, I just thought of Tank's Good News. And now I agree. Like, he didn't invent a web series and he didn't invent like talking about good news. So why is this such a revolutionary idea that media conglomerates are clamoring for?
No. And the more that I think about it, the more that I realize this entire thing is a ripoff of like Tank Sinatra's entire brand. Like, he does all these videos. Like, he talks a lot about mental health. He has a huge focus on like positive news. And here comes John Krasinski stealing Tank's Good News' job.
Yeah. Well, John Krasinski won't be hosting it, which is like, wait, so then why did you buy it? If like, it's not a new idea. It's just a famous host that people like. So you're not even going to use the famous host that people like. So now you're just going off of this like old idea that you didn't have to buy his show to have this idea. Right. Maybe they will get Tink Sinatra to host it. And then all would be well.
Yeah, to me, this is like, this whole story is just indicative of like how antiquated certain media companies are. Like, they can't even be forward thinking. And the only way they'll ever do something is like if a celebrity is attached to it. Like, and by the way, there are people who fucking love John Krasinski. I don't even know if they would watch a show. Like, I hadn't even heard of SGN until TikTok they did a huge partnership with him. And he was like the first video on TikTok, like the ad when you open the app. So I hadn't even heard of it until then.
So TikTok invented John Krasinski is what you're saying.
Essentially. I wish I could put into more clear words like why this bothers me so much. And I'm so curious if this bothers other people as much as it bothers me. Because I can't really explain it. It's just like, get away. Like, get the fuck away.
It bothers me. Ultimately, it's a show about good news and I'm sure it'll be good. But just there's something here that's like, no.
Just get out.
Yeah. Leave.
Listen to JoJo. Leave. Get out right now. It's the end of SGN. It's too late and I can't wait for John to be gone.
Whoa. Okay. Ooh. Just a little trail for you. Are you ready for our next story? Because it's fucking hilarious.
Yes, ma'am.
A 25-year-old Sephora employee from California has been fielding calls and texts meant for Elon Musk for years now, having been given his old recycled cell phone number by AT&T. Lindsay Tucker says she's received calls from the IRS, texts with blueprints for a bionic arm, and requests to buy a Tesla Cybertruck. She says her phone blows up every time Musk is in the news for doing something controversial, and she has to convince people she's not Elon Musk. This is a hilarious story.
I love this story because you know what? I've always wondered, like, I actually read a story the other day that the Kardashians are now in a process of getting a new phone number every week. And it's like, where do those old phone numbers go? Because phone numbers are only 7 digits in certain after your area code. So it's like, at some point we will run out of phone numbers.
Yes, I guess. But they're getting one every week?
I mean, I don't know if that's true. I just read it in like some blind.
Oh, because that seems like torture. How are you going to reconnect with old friends? Wish someone a happy birthday.
No, totally. But I guess it's like it's a need-to-know basis. Like if I need to wish you a happy birthday, you probably have my new phone number.
But who can keep up every week? That seems extreme. Maybe like every month or...
Yeah. No, it's just... But this is fascinating. I've always wondered about it. So I wonder if I have anyone's like old phone number.
Well, no, your phone number is so old that it was probably its first phone number.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. I mean, Elon Musk is a great one to have, but I'm sure celebrities get new phones all the time. Therefore, their old numbers go up for grabs. And I'm sure people are just calling and calling.
Totally. This is so interesting. How did the story come to be? Like, how do people know this?
It's in NPR. I don't know if they found her, like she came forward or it's just.
Do you think that this is the first time we've ever reported from NPR?
No, I think I've accidentally found my way here before because sometimes like I got this story from my newsletter and they linked to NPR. So sometimes if I get a story from my newsletter, then I'll just go to their source.
Cool.
Really funny. Okay, fifth and final story. Kelly Ripa has been secretly been filming live while quarantined in the Caribbean. While Ryan Seacrest was forced to take off time due to suffering from exhaustion, his morning show co-host Kelly Ripa has been picking up the slack from a house in the Caribbean, Page Six is told. Ripa and her husband and their three kids have secretly been quarantining away from their Manhattan home for the past few months. She's been filming ABC's Live with Kelly and Ryan from an island hideaway. Friends are staying at the family's NYC abode. While Ripa and the family are away, Seacrest is filming from his LA home. A source told them that the family was already in the Caribbean when the shelter-in-place order was issued in March. They made the family decision to stay put. Despite her tropical location, Ripa has made it no secret that she's been struggling amid lockdown, tearing up on air as she told how she's missing her parents and dealing with unruly youngsters who won't hug me. Would you like me to keep reading?
No, I just want to know what the point of the story is. So she's been lying this whole time and like pretending that she's been doing live with Kelly from New York. And is it just now coming to light that she's in the Caribbean? And are people mad at her for being in the Caribbean?
This is the first time seeing that she's in the Caribbean. I don't know that she's been lying and saying she's in New York. She probably just like, she's on a couch and we don't know every crevice of her apartment. So you just assume she's right at home. Turns out she's been in the Caribbean and they were there before the order, which is kind of funny to think about. Because I think when the shelter in place happened, so many people were like, oh my God, I wish I was on vacation. I would just stay and just be on vacation. But like 3 months later,
Happened to Jay Cutler and Kristen Cavallari.
You just want to be home. Yeah.
No, totally. I'm not entirely sure like what I'm supposed to take from this story, but what I have taken is that every time I read about Kelly Ripa, like I roll my eyes. Like all of her news stories are so planted. Like whoever's doing her PR is fabulous because they get her in magazines all the time with the most irrelevant, like Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos pretended to trick their daughter into thinking that they were getting divorced. Like there's always these like dumb stories. And it's a great like mechanism to keep her relevant because she's in the news all the time. But like, I just like, I'm over her. Like, and I'm over her and her like all the press that her and her husband like are always churning up for themselves. Like,
and now they use the kids for everything. Like kids graduating, kids going prom, kids this. Like, I just, I don't care.
What's her name? Kelly Ripa and Mark Consuelos' daughter just graduated college. You'll never believe what Kelly wore to her graduation.
No, it's like, I barely care about Mark Consuelos and Kelly Ripa. I don't care one iota about their children.
No, but like, I honestly, we need their publicists. Like they are everywhere. But
it's they're everywhere.
Point with, like overexposure. And like, then that's when like the public starts to resent people.
So but people like, don't realize what's been going on yet. They don't realize that they've been like infiltrated with Kelly Ripa, mindless news.
No, that's what it is. It's mindless. Like I have never read a story about Kelly Ripa that was actually substantial or that really made me like know more about her. To me, the most interesting thing she ever did was storm off of set and not return when Michael Strahan left. And to me, that told me everything I need to know about her.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's just like, I know John Krasinski has like some good news. Kelly Ripa should have a show, some mindless news.
SMN.
Yeah. And networks can like clamor over it.
Like I there's nobody whose name appears and I scroll by faster than Kelly Ripa. Like I just know that whatever the storyline is, it's not important. It's not substantial. It's not meaningful. It's not thought provoking. Like it's just silliness.
Yeah, I completely agree.
And I hate to tear down a fellow woman in media, but like her press is out of control.
But like, you're not saying anything negative about her. Like you're just,
she's lovely. Saying,
yeah. She just like,
she's hardworking.
OT.
Yeah. No, or her PR team. Like someone is just out of control and they need to chill.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'm jealous that they're in the Caribbean.
Me too.
Sounds lovely.
Should we dive into our TV recap segment? Because I have so many thoughts on Beverly Hills.
Yes. Let's get right into Beverly Hills. It was just a pleasure to watch.
Did you agree that it was just like the episode of like fabulousness for Erica, like her Chicago thing, her house, Tom Girardi?
Yes. Tom being there and like all of the girls like meeting Tom and just listening to Tom was really something special. And you could tell that like they really all were impressed by him. Not that they wouldn't be. But I also felt like a little silly, like they all were like schoolgirls, like sitting around the principal's there.
No, it literally felt like when you go to your friend's house and like she's at her parents' house and like you have to like wait in the lobby, like, I mean, in the living room, like for them. And you're like, hi, Mrs. Smith, how are you? I totally felt like that weird schoolgirl vibe for sure. But I just love Tom Girardi that I don't care. Like, I just need more content of him.
And I did need him to meet Erica's friends because I think Erica goes to him for a lot of advice and just like tells him what's going on with the women. And he needs the context to like know Garcelle and Denise and Dr. Theodore Frachman is in the background and he's just like on a mission. And I hope he gets where he needs to go.
I agree. I absolutely love Erica's house. Like, it's so glamorous. It's just so not what you expect for Erica Jane, but it's definitely so Erica Girardi.
And I didn't have a deep enough appreciation for the outside of her house before and, like, those two massive palm trees. Like, I just never really took stock of those palm trees. And then last night, like, the palm trees were just, like, so fabulous to me.
Yeah, and the production really lit them up, like, from the bottom so that they could get a whole picture of the house in the dark. It was quite stunning. To me, like, nothing happened before the dinner party. Like, it was just a lot of, honestly, silliness, and I was getting a little bored. Until they arrived at the dinner party, because that was really everything of the sort. Now, I'm struggling so hard because, to me, like, I'm just on everyone's side except for Kyle and Sutton. But Sutton really does have, like, a legitimate gripe with Dorit, and Dorit won't let it go.
Yeah.
And now I felt bad for Sutton because all the women, like, even Lisa was like, I didn't know what you were going to do. Like, it's making such a mountain out of a molehill. And I actually feel bad for Sutton.
Like, and Lisa Rinna being like at my daughter's event, like, one, she didn't do anything. Like Kyle said, she didn't do anything. So don't act like she did. Two, like, you don't invite the women of your crazy show cast to come to an event if you're honestly concerned that they might have a scene, because they're always having a scene. And that event for, Delilah and Amelia was like so lovely, but I'm pretty sure that they were the only people there. So if they had like popped off, it wouldn't have affected anything. And maybe their clothing line would have made some headlines because there was a Real Housewives fight. Like, honestly, right, at the end of the day, nothing happened. And even if something had happened, it wouldn't have been the biggest deal of all time. Like, there are some events where these ladies like cannot fight. Like, it would be so rude and so embarrassing. That was not one of those events.
I completely agree. So on the
my AirPod fell out too today. The AirPods are just flying. The AirPods are like, we are done. We are working too hard in quarantine. My AirPods work like literally 7 hours a day in the queue, and they used to work like 7 hours a week, maybe.
Oh my God, that was hard for me to bend down under my desk. But what I was going to say was, it's hard for me to choose sides here because Kyle is so on the right side of history when it comes to Sutton. She's like the only one who could think clearly, but then she's also being like an animal to everyone. And to me, she totally crossed the line and was so unforgivable when she literally just like lashed out at Erica, who was barely involved, and was like, is that because you don't have any close friends? Like, are you kidding me? That is such like a season six narrative.
Yeah, I agree. It's like using the one thing she shared with you once against her. Not cool.
Right. That's why it's so fucked up. Like, when you share something with someone and you're vulnerable and then they use it against you in a fight, like, that's the most fucked up thing.
But you know what's bothering me? And I'm not on Kyle's side. I'm very much on, like, Dorit's side. But Dorit keeps saying, like, all we want is for Kyle to admit that she and Teddy have a different sort of relationship and different set of standards. Okay, so, like, say Kyle were to admit that. What does that change? I just don't get the point of this whole argument. Like, you want her to admit it so badly, and then what? Everything's going to be okay? She can continue doing this with Teddy? Like, what's the point, almost?
Yeah, no, like, what's the reason? So, okay, she acknowledges it, and then what?
Right, like, you, or do you want her to change how she behaves towards all of you and apply the same set of standards to Teddy that she does to you? I understand maybe wanting that, but some friendships are just different, and some people bother me in other ways that other people don't. And like, that's just,
of course,
being human.
But I think Dorit is responding to like Kyle just randomly coming for her at Teddy's event and really thinking like, maybe if we weren't at Teddy's event, like, Kyle wouldn't have tried to put me on blast. Or maybe if it was Teddy the one who showed up late and glam, like, she wouldn't have yelled at Teddy. Like, when she was being scrutinized, I'm sure she was just comparing, like, why are you doing this to me? You wouldn't do it to Teddy.
Yeah, but now the argument has just gone down this path of like, what are we really fighting about? Oh, it's just so that you admit that you guys did a breathing exercise together and that you wouldn't do that with someone else. Like, this big fight for that, it's getting off the rails a little bit.
Yeah, I'm curious why Denise is really gung-ho for Kyle this season. It seems like they just got off on the wrong foot and they can't get back. And I would dislike Kyle too if she like came to my house and made fun of my ice sculpture and then like was calling me like fake for showing up in glam when like everyone shows up in glam. But it seems like she's really unhappy with Kyle. Like, she wants her out.
Yeah, it's I don't know the reasoning behind it yet. And when the girls were in the car, and I absolutely love Garcelle, and I thought every point that she made was so on point. When they were in the car and they were talking about Kyle, like, yes, it's not a nice thing to do. It's a kind of like mean girly. But when Garcelle, and like, we've gotten to this place when we watch TV shows, like it used to be like the meaner you were on a show, like you are our hero. Like, you know, when they would go after Danielle Staub, but now 10 years later, it's like, you can't say these things about Danielle. It's just like, it's just changed, which I think is for the good because we're getting to be nicer as people. But mm-hmm. when Garcelle was like, yeah, we're being catty, but that's what you do with real girlfriends. It's so true. Like, that's what I do with my friends. Like, if someone is being like a shitty friend or a bitch, like, or someone we don't know, like, yeah, we're going to fucking talk about it because we're real with each other. And we just say how we're feeling. We don't like filter everything that we say.
Yeah, I mean, what Garcelle said about Kyle's outfit was mean because I didn't think it was so terrible, but Kyle had and deleted something.
Oh, what did she say? And also, I wasn't talking about her making fun of Kyle's outfit because that's not nice. I was talking more about them just talking about Kyle's behavior. Like, she talks at us, not to us. Like, they were just getting catty in the car, but like in a very real way. And like, that's what real friends sound like.
Kyle
leave a party. You leave a party and you talk about all the weird things that happened.
Of course. Kyle said, Garcelle's snickering that my outfit is hideous while wearing stretchy purple knee-high boots with a pink suit dress, .. that her stylist picked for her.
I thought Garcelle looked great.
I thought Garcelle looked great too, and I loved her, the clips in her hair. I just love Garcelle. Like, I think maybe if she showed up in like a dress made of duty, I would think it was fabulous. Like, I just love her, and I just think she's right. Like, I'm just going to be on, to me, she reminds me of Erica Jane. Like, I just trust their moral code. And I think that like whatever side she ends up on or whoever she ends up arguing with, like, I just believe in her that she knows what's right.
Yes, but I do need her to get in the mix a little more. Like, I think all the ladies like really like her and think she's fabulous, but she keeps getting personal with the viewers, you know, in her home or with her friends, but not with the ladies yet. So I need these two worlds to come together. And these things take time, so I'm not in any rush, but that is what she is missing from the cast because I haven't seen, she's gotten a little deep with Erica, but I need her to get deeper with the cast.
Well, I think her telling Kyle that she feels glazed over by Kyle was her trying to do that, like trying to get more involved. Like, I don't feel like you want to get to know me. But at the same time, Kyle did tweet, like, we had only known each other at this point, like, we only met a few times. Like, so you can only get so far in a certain amount of time. But I agree. Like, I need her to divulge more in the group.
Yes. And now for Sutton, who is really like just finding a warm little spot in my heart. I think she's a really nice woman and she says what she means and she's very sensitive, but I don't think that she's mm-hmm. mean. I think in the first few episodes when she was like doing the stuff with the seating cards and like just being sort of strange, like it wasn't any sort of maliciousness at all. Like, she's just socially awkward, and I will always relate to a socially awkward queen.
I agree. And I think production like set her up a few times to say like cringy things about fashion and all that. And they just, I knew when it was happening that she was probably being stitched together poorly, but I just thought it was funny. Now that I feel like I've gotten to know her, I feel like they definitely like set her up to be cringy in the beginning.
Yeah. And I can forgive all of that. I'm looking past it because now every time I see her, she's just like a different woman to me. And even in the car, when Teddy was like getting car sick, just Sutton's reactions, like, she's just an interesting woman. She doesn't say what I think someone's gonna say, and I appreciate her. She's very different from all of the other women.
I agree. I actually felt bad for Teddy. I thought that like the way Kyle and Sutton reacted like could have been a little bit more nurturing to a pregnant woman who's feeling nauseous.
Yeah, I mean, I felt very much sympathetic for Teddy. Like, these long,
she should have sat in the front.
They need to start, like, they need to break up Real Housewives of Beverly Hills into two casts, like the ones who live near each other and the ones who live across town near from each other, because like these long car rides are making me queasy.
Agreed. Now let's talk about New York.
I'm going to start on high because I did something different last night. I watched New York while I repainted my nails and doing some, not giving all 100% of my focus to New York, like wanting it to change my life, but like doing 50-50 made the episode a lot better. But it was also a decent episode, right? Or maybe that was just because I was doing my nails.
It's definitely better, and it's because something's happening, or at least trying to happen, that I feel like has been necessary for a while, and that's Dorinda being held accountable for being a horrible friend and saying some of the most unforgivable, Ramona said, jugular things. And we didn't even get close to that, because to me, last night's episode was reflective of how unreasonable Dorinda is and like how she will never be held accountable for anything that she says. Yeah. But it was starting to happen, like everyone kind of realizing, like, and by the way, it's funny because I am now this season for the first time starting to like Dorinda, because for the last few seasons, I have just thought she's so unreasonable. She drinks way too much. She says the meanest, most horrible things to people and kind of just gets this pass from everyone because she's like funny and cool. But now it's like, I'm actually only starting to like her now, but it seems like the group is kind of onto the fact, like, she's really been the one for the last few seasons, like, really stirring up the drama and saying some of the most mean, hurtful things.
Yeah, I would agree. And I think Leah is really the perfect person, because her and Dorinda seem to have mutual respect. I think Leah is the perfect person to bring a lot of this to light, especially in defense of Tinsley. I enjoyed the Russian bathhouse. That looked like so much fun. Maybe everything just looks fun right now. But that ginger vodka like looked so good. And it looked like a legit spa, like where you will go and get legit treatments. I don't know. I thought it looked cool.
No, I was literally dying at everyone's reaction to like the outside of it, because yeah, it just looked like a place where you get like a happy ending. And the inside was like better than what I thought. And I was glad that everyone like dove headfirst into the experience. But like, come on, Leah, production's paying for a day at the spa. Let's go to the fucking Carlisle.
But I like that she got the ladies out of their element.
No, I don't.
Oh, I liked it. I thought, and maybe it's just because it was Leah and I like everything that she does.
For sure.
You know, like I'm not gonna, this is her favorite spot. It's my favorite spot too now.
What do you think about Ramona pulling Sonia aside and telling her she needs to lose weight?
Okay, obviously that is not acceptable, period. But these women, I mean, this keeps happening. These women are from like just a different time, you know?
Totally.
And like, even though they're, some of them are around the same age of as the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, like the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills are very much like a, like part of the culture, you know, they're on social media, like they're very much in it. Like they know the way that the world is now, but like Ramona does not. She lives in the time period that she thrived in. They all live in the past. And in the past, maybe that was an acceptable thing to say to your girlfriend.
Right.
It is
like,
not.
When I heard it, I was like, Ramona's going to get so much shit for this. But I felt like she said it in the way that like your grandmother used to be like, oh, you put on mm-hmm. a little weight. Why didn't you have a salad? Like, I'm not by any means defending her. But to me, I agree. They don't exist in this world. They don't know that like those are things you don't fucking say.
No, and like they're not even concerned with what are viewers going to think about this. Like, and that's what most of the time makes the show so great. They're legit just being themselves, for better or for worse. So obviously that is not a thing that is acceptable to say, period. But these women just live in a different time period where things like that were things that you said.
And Sonia is my fucking favorite, because she literally was in the hallway being like, I love myself. I don't care if I'm fat, I'm skinny, I'm great no matter what. And I'm like, yes, Sonia, same. Love that. But I feel like, I don't know, the episode was so frustrating because there's not clear alliances. Like everyone, like the fact that Sonia took Dorinda's side for like the first time against Ramona was the weirdest thing ever. But then it was like, why the series is like so dry. Like they're desperate for content. Why did we only see Sonia throwing up in the van in a flashback?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Also, Sonia made the decision early this season to take Dorinda's side no matter what because of what she's going through. And I think it's like this association to like Richard and their past, and they both have that. And I think she just has made the decision, like whether it comes to Tinsley or even Ramona now, like she's going to bat for Dorinda because she thinks that Dorinda needs it. And I can respect that. I really did like how Ramona, though it went against her code, stood up for Tinsley and said, Dorinda, you are being mean. Like, this is something I've been thinking about. It's been bothering me. Like, you have a very mean streak. And of course, Dorinda didn't take well to that. But I was really proud of Ramona just for saying the right thing, even though, like, she's always saying the wrong thing.
She's always saying the wrong thing. And in a lot of ways, she's like the matriarch of the show. She's the only OG and people respect her opinion. And I was shocked that she took Tinsley's side. I was shocked that she stood up for her at the bathhouse and then also again in her apartment. And I was glad that she like went outside and made amends with Dorinda and Sonia and brought them back, because nobody needs like a divide like that. But I just think Dorinda's so unreasonable. Like, she should just be given a pass. And by the way, I am so sympathetic to like what people go through and how it changes them and affects them as friends. And you can't always be the best friend to someone because you're going through your own shit. Like, I respect that. But to be so fucking mean and say some of the most vile things to Tinsley, like, my gum lasts longer than your relationship, you only do things on your back, like such fucking mean, vicious things. I don't think that going through a breakup or trying to go through grief, that doesn't give you a path to say such mean things to people.
Yeah, I completely, completely agree. Also, the mean things that Dorinda was saying to Ramona in her apartment, like, you couldn't land a boulder, like, and that's when, like, when Ramona, and I think that she has a really thick skin because she dishes it out and she takes it. Like, she says crazy shit and she receives crazy shit. But like, you just watched her demeanor change where she was so hurt. Like, obviously that's something that upsets her. And a friend would know that.
That's what she's saying. Dorinda goes for the jugular. She knows what upsets you, what your insecurities are. And that's exactly what she did to Ramona in her own fucking apartment.
And that scene in the apartment was fucking wild. It was giving me like season one vibes where they would just like have cheese and stand around and just fight with each other. Now they like go to fabulous places to do it because the show has just evolved. But in the beginning, it was just like, come over, let's fight. And with all those random
cocktails
ladies
in conversation.
With all those random ladies standing around, like, it was just insane to watch.
Well, that's what we have to talk about, because as much as it was a better episode than usual, it was completely ruined by Elise. She was bothering me so much in the hallway, like following the cameras around. Come on, let's go inside. Come on, let's go out here. Why don't you guys take a breath? Shut up. You're not the referee of this fight.
No, she kept like chiming in. It's like, no, let the conversation go where it needs to go. Like, stay out of it. I guess ultimately I'm glad she brought them from the hallway into the apartment, because like, it would disturb the neighbors. But like, that, let the women be. Like, that's what the show is. You just plop them down and let them be. And she was just really interfering way too much. And I need her to like, I need the point in the season when they realize she's not a full-time cast member to come, when they like stop including her and everything. And I absolutely love that Leah didn't invite her to the bathhouse.
Me too. Does she go to Newport next week, Rhode Island? I don't know.
I didn't see her there, but doesn't mean she wasn't there.
Who knows? It was a better episode than usual.
It was better. And next week looks really good too. Newport.
Yeah. So I don't feel as disgruntled as I did last week. So I will let this one just go to bed.
Yeah, me too. It was a good week for television. And I'm going to spend the weekend reading more, I think, because I spent last weekend watching a lot of TV. I just started a new book that like is so interesting looking at. I'm enjoying it already. I'm having a little bit of regret for not choosing it for the redheads, but it's about vampires. So I know that's not like everyone's thing.
No, it's not. But unfortunately, I'm having a Wi-Fi issue where like you're really blurry for me. So I'm just going to wrap this up, okay?
Okay. And she did stop writing. Her hand really hurt and she's like ready to take the long weekend. So let's do it.
Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we go live Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on YouTube. So if you're watching us on YouTube, please feel free to subscribe and give this video a thumbs up. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places. So wherever you listen to podcasts, find us, The Morning Toast, and leave a 5-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. If you are looking for more content, we have tons of new episodes of our podcast and video vlogs up on our Patreon channel, patreon.com/themorningtoast. We also have brand new episodes this week from all of our TNN shows, so follow at Toast News Network for updates. Make sure to pre-order my comedy special, available on iTunes for pre-order right now. You can click the link in my bio on Instagram. And if you're looking to take pictures this weekend and look fabulous as hell, go to JackieOflow.com to get Jackie's new pack of presets. They're her finest work yet. We love you guys so much. We'll see you Tuesday. There's no show Monday. Have a great long weekend. Stay safe.
Bye.